So often when we think about clutter, we think about rolling up our sleeves, jumping in, and getting to work. And while that's not wrong, it's honestly not the best thing to do, at least not at first. This is what I call treating the symptom, because clutter is honestly just a symptom of a problem. Did you catch what I just said? You're going to be learning about how to manage clutter in this episode, but the homework you'll get as a result of this episode isn't going to be to get rid of one thing. I will not be telling you to think about things like, when was the last time I used this? Do I wear this? Does this still fit? Do I even want this anymore? While all of those questions serve a purpose, I'm not really helping you with clutter if that's where I start with you. I promise this will all make sense once you listen to today's episode of the Intentional Mom Podcast, and you'll leave feeling empowered to take care of your clutter, maybe for the first time ever. Grab something to write with. This is one you're going to want to take notes on. Well, hey there, I am Jennifer Roskamp, a certified life coach and homeschool mom of nine who is passionate about helping women just like you embrace the here and now while also being focused on creating the life you actually want. In reality, it's not about thinking life will get so much better or so much easier when you fill in the blank. Let's work on creating a life you love now. So let's dive in and get started on redefining Supermom to be someone who is present, intentional, and content rather than perfect in our homes, in our lives, and in our own skin. Let's get started. This is the Intentional Mom Podcast. For 3 years, my husband and I survived on next to no income. He was in school full time. In fact, for 7 out of 12 years, he was in school full time, which was not cheap, by the way. Now, if you know how the story ended, you know that we paid off the last bit of our mortgage, making us debt free when we were 41. Our goal was 40, but I guess since we were raising a larger than average gaggle of children, we actually did pretty well. In case this is your first episode with me, we have 9 kids. So did I mention that in addition to those 7 years in school that we had to pay for, of course, we only had normal jobs and I only worked minimally part-time, some of those years, not at all, doing just about everything under the sun you can imagine. So there's a lot more to our story that I could unpack, but I share these things to give you some context because this is what we'll use as the foundation for what we're going to talk about today. So while I gained so many things during that time in life, strength, grit, and really laying the groundwork for what has now become my life's work in my business, helping women change their lives through changing their mindset. Back in those days, man, they felt endlessly long, by the way. My mindset was often the only thing I could control about my situation. And that's what life coaching is all about. But one of the things I gained during that time that hasn't served me well, actually, it's one of these things that affects so many different things, and clutter is one of those. It has everything to do with clutter, actually. And it's a scarcity mentality. So maybe you've never heard that term before, but I know that you would probably know what it is. So let me just explain that first, just a little bit. So basically what a scarcity mentality does is, and I guess what it has to do with clutter, is that it makes me afraid to get rid of things. Because I think things like, what if I can't afford this thing and I need to buy it again? With a scarcity mentality, it made me so over-the-top resourceful. If there's really one skill I gained during that time, it was the skill of resourcefulness, maybe followed up closely by the character trait of scrappy. People describe me as scrappy. So if you're a resourceful person, though, you just don't get rid of things. And the cool thing is that when you're resourceful, you don't have to spend as much money. But on the other hand, you can follow the train of thought, the process, the thought process, and say that if you're resourceful, it's hard to get rid of things. And for me, it's hard to get rid of things that are strangling me rather than serving me. This is how I talk about clutter, strangling versus serving. But it's hard for me to get rid of things that are strangling me rather than serving me when I'm afraid to let them go. So it took some time, and I will say a lot of time, to really get to the root of my need to hang on to things due to that scarcity mentality. And it really then all had to be connected back to that part in my life. Once I made all those connections and did all that work, though, it made sense. Once I made all those connections and I processed those emotions, something that I, as a life coach, have learned to do for myself, and I help others do that as well, processing those emotions. But once I did that, I could start letting all of the stuff that was strangling me rather than serving me, I could let all that stuff go. So that really is the foundation I had for you today. And so now we're going to move on. And so these are some truths. I love truths. I love mantras. If this is your first time with me, you will learn that quickly. But here are some truths that I have to remind myself of as I work on clutter. But I have to override that kind of ingrained scarcity mentality in order to make any progress. So here are those truths. Number one, the clutter isn't going to bring back the money that I spent. The money is gone. So hanging on to the stuff, it's just hanging on to the stuff. And it, quote, costs me a lot. That's a whole nother conversation to have, that costs me part, because everything we do and don't do costs us something. And hanging on to clutter, well, that's a whole nother angle to think about clutter and to take when you're trying to get rid of clutter. The whole idea of the hidden costs of clutter. It costs you things in relationships. It can cost you in your relationships. It can cost you in how you spend money. It can cost you in the motivation that you struggle to find in just about anything. It might blow your mind to think of the fact that clutter and your hangups with clutter and the fact that you have clutter and the fact that clutter makes you feel trapped and powerless. It might blow your mind to think of the fact that, you know what, that clutter could be the biggest domino when it comes to you losing weight. Isn't that amazing? So often we think of our life as compartmentalized, right? We think that the clutter only affects the things that clutter visibly would affect. It only affects how I feel about my home. It only affects like my peace of mind. It only affects maybe my self-confidence. Maybe you can kind of draw the line a little bit further like that and say, it does affect my self-confidence. It affects how I think about myself. It affects how I talk to myself about myself. It affects how I label myself. Those are all correlations that you might be able to find. But yet, if I tell you, you know what, that might be the biggest domino in you losing weight, that might be kind of the first time you ever hear that. But like I said, that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother clutter conversation, honestly. But the truth number one says that the clutter that I keep isn't going to bring the money that I spent back. And I have to remind myself of that, because it sure feels like the opposite. Somehow I feel like I'm wasting money or spending more money if I get rid of the stuff. And that all goes back to that scarcity mentality. And it's just not true. So I have to remind myself of truth number one. Truth number two that I also have to remind myself of reminds me that I survived financial hardship once. And by the way, those times in our life, they weren't connected together. There was actually two separate times for about 18 months each that we went really through financial hardship. And there's really no way to sugarcoat that. Like, that's truly what it was. And we did it with our kids. We did it with a family. man, I did learn resourcefulness. I did learn how to be scrappy as I'm thinking about some of those things right now. Man, that'll be a fun conversation to have sometime. But I need to remind myself that I survived financial hardship. Those are skills I have. Those are not ever going to go away. And so somehow just reminding myself that I have withstood and made it through to the other side with financial hardship in the way. And so that means that I could do it again if I need to. I will be okay. Now, the chances of me going through financial hardship again, of course, nothing is promised. In fact, I should probably be done talking about that right now. Probably not even a smart conversation for me to have. But truth number two says, I survived financial hardship before and I could do it again if I needed to. I need to remind myself of that too as I'm trying to get rid of clutter. Isn't it so interesting to hear how some of these connections are made in the brain? Our brain is so smart. Our brain is so calculated. And usually it's calculating, by the way, without us even being aware, because that's how it controls us. And you might think, well, why wouldn't I want my brain to control things? Well, you actually have two different kind of brains happening, right? You have basically your conscious brain and you have your unconscious brain. And it's that unconscious brain that feeds us these things that we believe about ourselves, and this that feeds this scarcity mentality and the things that I think about my clutter. That's my unconscious brain. And really these truths then that I have put together and that I remind myself of, they are me taking back control of my conscious brain. They are what's happening in my conscious brain. But as you can think about it, the difference between conscious and unconscious is my involvement, my personal involvement. And so your unconscious brain equals no personal involvement. It's the autopilot brain. And it's the, I like to fly under the radar brain, but conscious brain equals effort. It equals awareness. It equals choices. With your unconscious brain, you really don't make choices. All of this is a whole lot to take in one clutter episode. But I promise this is going to be such good things that you can apply to so many different areas. But truth number two says, I survived financial hardship once. I can do it again if I need to. And that helps me start to let go of that clutter. Truth number three that I need to remind myself of when it comes to releasing clutter is that letting go of clutter rids me of so much more than just the clutter. Again, back to that compartmentalized idea and how we tend to think that our life is compartmentalized. We think, again, in that unconscious sort of way, we think that when we focus on clutter and when we make progress on clutter, that the only benefits we actually gain, which they're huge, right? But we think that the only benefits that we actually gain have to do with clutter. They have to do with your home. But in reality, dealing with that clutter benefits you in so many other ways. So your benefits might be different from mine. But the thing to notice is that, and the thing to know is that anytime you make an improvement or you take action or you follow through with something you want to do, like take care of clutter, anytime you do that, your ability to do those same things in completely unrelated ways, it makes those things easier. So when I get rid of the clutter, it also rids me of things like shame. It rids me of guilt. And it really kind of rids me of fear, right? Scarcity mentality is tied so deeply to fear. That's really the primary emotion that comes out with scarcity mentality. And so when I take care of the clutter, I also unlock feelings of guilt and shame and fear. And those feelings, when I have them, when I carry them around, they affect other things too. I bring guilt and shame and fear into other situations. We are so complex as humans. You thought you were going to hear some clutter tips today, maybe. And I have plenty of those, believe me. If you've ever been, I think I have 4 different clutter workshops, multiple lessons in Accomplished Lifestyle, my coaching program, all about clutter, classes about clutter, Clutter-Free Ninja. I've got a clutter PDF download, the Clutter-Free Rescue Pack. I've got a ebook about clutter. Believe me, I have plenty of clutter skills. But again, thinking about what I talked about in the very beginning, if that's where I start with you to help you manage your clutter, I'm not really helping you. I'm treating the symptoms. When you dive into a book about clutter resources or just focus on the actual act of getting rid of the clutter and using tips and tricks and hacks to do that, which again, they are useful. I don't want to discount those at all. But when we do that, we're treating the symptom, but we have to diagnose the actual problem. And remember that scarcity mentality was a diagnosis of clutter for me. And you'll have to do the same thing for yourself. Maybe it's scarcity mentality for you too. But as I process those emotions of fear and shame and guilt, it allows me to not bring those into other situations either. And so I've treated the problem of clutter, but other problems piggyback off of the clutter. The work I do in processing the clutter, again, before I have even touched a single thing, all of this work that I do, this mind work, actually helps me unlock other things too. That makes it work that is so worthwhile doing. So when I focus on these truths, it's then and only then that I can really effectively let the clutter stuff go. So if you struggle with clutter and you have a scarcity mentality, you'll likely have to do the same things. So let me give you a really quick recap of what we talked about today, because we covered a lot of ground. So if you identify or feel like maybe you identify with that scarcity mentality, maybe you've lived through financially hard times in your life. Maybe you were taught that by a parent. Maybe you had a parent who lived through the Great Depression, and so they were just resourceful and scrappy. And so you just have the same things built in, and that's all these years how you, that comes along with you, that mentality, that scarcity mentality. It's there every time you try to deal with clutter. And maybe this is the first time you've heard of that, thought of that, and really have been given the ability to start to make progress. But if you identify with that, number one, you have to identify the emotions that scarcity mentality brings into your life. For me, it was shame and guilt and fear. But what is it for you? It could be different emotions. You need to identify those. Again, work well spent. This might sound woo-woo to you. Why take the bother? Why do I bother? Why don't I just start getting rid of the stuff already? It's not the best way to take care of the problem. It's why clutter keeps coming back. Ever wondered about that? If you haven't identified the real problem of the clutter, it's always going to come back. So what are those emotions for you though? They could be different than guilt, shame, and fear. That's number one. Number two, process those emotions. Once you name them, you've got to process them. What does that look like? Well, again, that's a deep life coach skill. But in a nutshell, you give yourself permission to process and to feel. You give yourself permission to feel those emotions that you've identified. You have to sit with them. The goal, by the way, isn't to get rid of these emotions. That's what we're taught from the time we're young. We think hard emotions, emotions that make us feel bad or on the negative side of the spectrum, we think the goal is to just get away from those as quickly as possible. I need to get rid of this fear. I need to get rid of this guilt. I need to get rid of this shame. But in reality, you have to sit with them first. That's what you need to do. It's not the goal to get away from them as quickly as possible. If all you ever do is get away from them as quickly as possible, you're stuffing them, you're ignoring them. You're just, again, bringing those emotions, almost like baggage, into every situation, into everything you do. It's so empowering when you can actually feel negative emotions. And of course, you move past those. You don't just stay there. But again, if all you've ever done is get away from those hard emotions as quickly as possible, you're carrying so many of them around. And man, they get heavy. And they make every situation that really those become an obstacle in, they make every situation 20 times harder than they have to be. Because you have to carry those emotions. They're heavy. You're pulling them along like baggage. But you've got to process the emotions that scarcity mentality brings to you. And so you've got to trace that back. You've got to do the work there. There's no fast pass I can give you to doing that. You've got to do it. You've got to process those emotions. Interesting. A life coach is someone who can do this for you. If this is something you struggle with, they can help you with this. They can't do it for you. That was not the right way to say that. A life coach does not do the work for you. You've got to do the work. But the third thing that you need to take away from this episode, again, if you know that a scarcity mentality comes to play in the game at all when you're dealing with clutter, the third thing you need to do is develop your own truths. I gave you really good ones here today. But what's true for you despite the things you're conditioned into thinking already? Kind of got to identify those too, by the way. When you think about getting rid of your clutter, what are those thoughts for you? What are you thinking? You got to identify your thoughts before you can fix the broken ones. But if these are similar truth, if these emotions are similar things, fear, shame, and guilt, if you have those too, well, these truths might be effective for you. But what are your effective truths going to be? So, by the way, if you've got a clutter problem and you don't think you have a scarcity mentality, there are other common headspace things that are keeping you from managing that clutter. It's not just a scarcity mentality. Maybe we'll unpack some of these things in future episodes here on the Intentional Mom podcast. Maybe we'll do that at some point. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you're not missing them. But clutter in a nutshell, in a very, very brief something to consider way, know that you could be hanging on to clutter because it's emotional for you. It could be overwhelm that's keeping you stuck. It could be perfection paralysis. That's a thing, right? What's that? Lots to unpack. There's lots to unpack with clutter. But if it's a scarcity mentality, well, I likely just gave you the key that you've been missing to finally be able to be set free from that clutter. If you're an accomplished lifestyle, our clutter workshop this past February of 2024, was so good. If you are in accomplished lifestyle right now, make sure you watch that. So good. So clutter. You can move forward from it, but just remember, it's not about the stuff first. It's about what's between your ears. Is it a scarcity mentality? Well, it's something to consider for sure. Oh my goodness. There are times that I teach something and I feel like, oh my gosh, I just sprayed a whole bunch of people with a fire hose with all the information that I just gave. And I totally feel that way right now. So we've talked about it some in this episode, but in the next episode, we're going to be talking about how a life coach can help you. But maybe you're wondering, what is a life coach and how can they help me? Well, you'll learn that also in the next episode of the Intentional Mom Podcast. I will see you there.